Our second reading this morning is from the book of Proverbs, and you can find this on page 667 in the Pew Bibles, or if you're using the large print version, you'll find it on page 1185. And I have to say it's with a deep sense of inadequacy that I read this well-known epilogue to the book of Proverbs, entitled The Wife of Noble Character. Proverbs chapter 31, starting at verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed, and she is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This is the word of the Lord.
Not a familiar passage, so you might want to have your Pew Bibles open on page 667. But let me pray for us. We sang just now about waiting upon God's word, and this scripture has things for men and women to think about and take very seriously. Lord, we wait upon your word. May it shed its light into our minds and hearts, and so our living, we pray. Amen. Well, verse 18 of chapter 31, a wife of noble character, who can find? The context of this particular section of scripture is given in verse 1 of chapter 31. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. There's no record of a king of that name in Israel, so possibly he was a pagan king from North Arabia, perhaps a convert to Judaism. And these were words of Lemuel's mother, also perhaps a convert to Judaism. And here's the oracle, the words she taught him. It shouldn't surprise us over these last weeks, looking at the book of Proverbs, that we have this section here, because there's lots in Proverbs about parenting, about a mother and father's responsibility, as well as children's responsibility. And just as the Song of Solomon, with its great emphasis on erotic love, written by King Solomon, just as that has particular things for married couples, perhaps Proverbs also has specific things in the area of parenting for those who are mothers and fathers. Verses 10 to 31, which have just been read for us, are most certainly the words of a woman about women. The other surprise is that this book of the Bible ends with a wise king in the first verse we haven't read, and then the wise woman. And the aim of Proverbs is to make us wise. We have that reading in Luke 2 because that reminds us that Jesus grew in wisdom every way. Nobody has been as wise, has demonstrated wisdom like Jesus. And the aim of Proverbs is to make us wise, not self-confidently street-wise, but self-givingly God-wise, to help us see what wisdom looks like and is, and what it doesn't look like and isn't. We've been given throughout Proverbs different people to think about. There's a fool, there's the adulterer, there's a sluggard. And now we have at the end a wise king and a wise woman. And given the purpose of this book, it's not a strange way to end, as they reflect, these two, what we've been learning about these last weeks. Now, men, on the whole, like these verses. I see one or two are looking quite smug as it's read out, with a quite grin on their face. And women, perhaps, aren't quite so keen as they're read out. But actually, the book of Proverbs sees men and women in binary terms. It's very black and white. There's no shades of grey. If we didn't have this chapter, we might think this book of the Bible is anti-women, because it talks about the adulterous woman. It talks about the nagging wife who's like a tap which drips and drips and drips. But actually, it's a big picture here of a wonderful picture of womanhood at the end. I worked in the West End for a long time, in W1 as a minister, and I used to, on my day off, to go across the British Museum, and there's so much to see there. And actually, as you wander around the different levels and different exhibits there, you can see more and more about the culture which this particular book is written into. Because the ancient Near East, you look at the literature, you look at the sculpture, look at the murals, and there, what's being praised only is women's physical beauty or their erotic appeal. But not here in this particular chapter. This chapter celebrates her character, her virtues. In our celebrity-worshipping, sex-saturated culture, it's very refreshing to have these words. Look carefully at this woman as she incarnates wisdom for women and for men. Sums up so much what Proverbs has been teaching us. Now, verses 10 to 31 are an acrostic in the Hebrew alphabet, and it goes through line by line different letters of the Hebrew alphabet. That's probably, if you like, an A to Z of the Excellent Wife. And the acrostic may have been to help memory and memorizing it, but more likely to convey the sense of completeness or comprehensiveness. If you like, the complete woman. And now I say these things, women here, is not here designed to send you into a guilt trip, but to give us something to aspire to, but also for men to correct our view of women. What do we learn about this woman who's praised. And can I say, it's not a moralistic sermon, this, because actually we all need God's grace and forgiveness, as baptism reminds us. The person who fears the Lord, realizes what he's done, or she's done, lives in a different way. And this woman in Proverbs chapter 31, well, she's somebody who fears God. The start of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The second to last verse of chapter 31, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The Lord, that name given to Moses at the burning bush by God, the covenant-keeping God. And here is commitment to the God who's committed to us. It comes out in this woman's life. And fear of the Lord is not cringing terror. No, it's actually a reverent obedience. I think I've discovered this last week. The most common command in the Bible is what? Anyone tell me what they think the most common command is? It's be not afraid, interesting enough. Be not afraid, because though this God's mighty and awe-inspiring, he wants us to be his friend. And wisdom is a path and not just a door. There's that narrow gate we thought about in the baptism, but actually once you go through that narrow gate, you will also walk on that narrow road or path. And the real question is what's going on inside. I'm getting middle-aged, as perhaps you realise, looking at me today. And actually, when we get middle-aged, we get more and more into ruts, either good ruts or bad ruts. And the real question is, what is going on inwardly? Are you somebody who fears God? Are you honouring him? Sometimes people come and see me, and they tell me what they've done in their life. And some of it is frankly appalling when you see how they lived and ignored God's good gifts and broken all his rules, as we all have in different ways. But actually, it's the fear of God which will drive some sins out, when you realize who he is. And I know people who've been humbled and left old lifestyles behind because they realize that God is to be feared and should be stood in awe of. We need to make sure we're listening to Scripture and learning in experience. Fear God. Yes, charm can be deceptive, beauty fleeting, verse 30. And let me put it gently, looking around church this morning, some of you are very fit and young and vigorous, but actually, wrinkles form, don't they? Our bodies sag. But a woman who fears the Lord, even if your body's like that, is to be praised. Fear God. Second, work hard. This woman is extraordinary. Great diligence. She can work, so she does work. Some people can't work, as we know. But listen to her. What she's up to, what she's up to day by day. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Verse 13, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Verse 19, in her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. And yes, her work isn't just to make money selling clothes. Also, it's not just functional. No, some of it is very beautiful. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. There's nothing dowdy about this woman or how she makes up her bedroom or her own apparel. And yes, she's a property investor. Do you see what she does, verse 16? She considers a field and buys it, and out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Verse 24, she opens a shop. She makes linen garments and sells them and sells sashes to the merchants. This woman has a great breadth when it comes to working hard. Sometimes people say to me things like this. They say, I was doing so much before I was married. Mothers particularly say that, because actually it can be quite hard when you've had a vigorous career, stimulated every way, to be a bit marooned at home. But if you're feeling like that, can you, as this woman in Proverbs 31 did, use everything to glorify God? Can you make sure that even if it seems you have a little space in life at the moment, with bringing up children or other things you have to do, well, can you fill that little space to glorify God? Perhaps be content, make the most of that small space for a moment. Fear God, work hard. Third, serve others. I love the way it says this. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Wouldn't it be great for marriages here if a man could say, my wife has done me good, not harm. And it says something about the givenness in creation, but actually a husband can't be isolated from his wife or a wife from her husband. Yes, she's busy serving her family. When it snows, verse 21, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. So often, men and women do one thing. We ask, what's best for me? Instead of saying, what's best for us as a couple, as a family? When I worked by the BBC in London, most weeks I would see Jenny Murray going into Broadcasting House as I came in and out of our church building and offices. And there's a transcript you can still see where Jenny Murray is interviewing somebody, and she says this in the interview, I'm not a mother, I'm a broadcaster who has kids. It's a very sad comment, isn't it? But motherhood is just incidental. I have kids, but actually, it doesn't really count. It's a broadcasting. But actually, if you're a woman, you can serve by what you say and do. You think about the tongue the other week. I don't know how you do this. It's quite painful, I guess, to try and measure it this way, but 0.4% of your body weight is your tongue. And yet the tongue causes so many problems in life. Edwina Curry, I probably say that name, and you immediately think about the egg scandal. But Edwina Curry was interviewed by a journalist after her affair with John Major. And the journalist said to her, Mrs. Curry, do you feel any guilt? And Edwina Curry said this, and it's very shocking. She said, not at all. All the best things have happened when I've done them for me. It's a very self-serving view, isn't it? Well, this woman is obviously successful financially, and she uses her wealth, it says, to help the poor. Use her time and money to help those who need care. And so often we gather friends who are very much like us, but actually it's good to have friends who perhaps we wouldn't immediately warm to humanly, but we can actually give to them in different ways. I think about what's rather nastily called the shut-ins, and there are quite a lot of those in Wargrave, people who never get out. We can actually give something there by showing that friendship. Well, I want to end with the New Testament, not giving you a moral sermon, but I want to take you to what Jesus said about his own ministry. Don't turn to it, but Mark 10 and verse 45 has these famous words of Jesus. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The most perfect person ever, who was wisdom itself in every way. Well, he was somebody who feared God, who worked hard, tirelessly, and served others. And Jesus did that wonderfully for you and me. And at the cross, he dealt with my failure and your failure, whether you're a man or you're a woman. And so my imperfections, your imperfections are covered. And I find the Lord Jesus is my ultimate inspiration and the only one who offers me hope and comfort and a fresh start when I've gone so wrong. May God make us all people who exhibit wisdom, whether we're men or women. Amen.